Good afternoon. You're listening to KTOO. I'm Yvonne Crumry. Hurricane force winds are expected to hit central and southern southeast Alaska late tonight into Friday, with gusts up to 80 miles an hour. Seas along the outer coast in the Gulf of Alaska could reach 35 feet. Jeff Garman is a meteorologist with the National Weather Service in Juneau. He says residents in the region should prepare.
These winds, they will, making landfall, they will do damage. They will push trees over, and we could see some damage to structures. Especially for folks from Sitka South, really ought to be paying very close attention to this.
The storm is supposed to make landfall along southern Baranof Island and Prince of Wales Island tonight, and then get stronger early Friday. Garman says residents in other areas should also stay alert.
Because those winds extend well out to the east, well to the north, well to the south and west of where that center of circulation comes in. So this is not just an immediate coastal threat for wind. Those winds will eventually move inland, and the inside passage needs to be watching.
Garman says that Juneau could see winds picking up around 20 miles an hour Friday afternoon, with gusts around 40 to 50 miles an hour through the evening. But he says the forecast could change and urges residents to check for updates from the National Weather Service. The windstorm is supposed to dissipate over the weekend, and Monday could see a few peaks of sun.
Sunday, Monday looks a lot more benign, but we're still going to have some weather around. We may get some breaks on Monday in the weather. So let's say the glass is half full for Monday.
The National Weather Service in Juneau is posting weather updates to their social media accounts and to weather.gov. Construction to get Eagle Crest Ski Area's controversial gondola up and running is finally underway. The ski area announced yesterday the work has begun to develop on the access road to one of the gondola stations on Douglas Island. That means the mountain will be closed off to the public beyond the lodges for the foreseeable future. The road construction comes more than 3 years after the city bought the used gondola from Austria. And now the ski area's future is riding on it. In the coming years, the ski area is slated to run into a multi-million dollar deficit. That's intentional. It's part of a plan to repair some broken and aging infrastructure while boosting pay to employees and preparing to operate year-round. The plan to dig out of the deficit relies heavily on revenue from the gondola. Eagle Crest General Manager Craig Simmons says the road construction marks a major step for the ski area.
Yeah, it's really exciting. I mean, this, like I've been saying all along, the summer revenue is going to change the course of Eagle Crest forever. And having these crews here working on this really solidifies that this is happening and it's really going to be a big deal.
Simmons says the goal is to have the gondola up and running by the summer of 2028. This January, the ski area will celebrate 50 years of operation. A local Alaska Native corporation, Gold Belt Incorporated, invested $10 million in the gondola in 2022 in exchange for a revenue sharing agreement. Gold Belt announced last fall that it plans to develop a cruise ship port a few miles north of Eagle Crest. Simmons says the ski area will provide updates regularly about the status of the closure. And Juneau School Board President Dee Dee Sorensen was set to finish her term this year, but she's adding her name to this year's school board race. As KTOO's Jamie Deep reports, her ride in candidacy comes after a recent candidates forum and public pressure to run.
Dee Dee Sorensen did not plan on running for another term, but earlier this week, rumors circulated that she would run as a write-in candidate. Sorensen said on a call with KTOO Monday that she hadn't heard the rumors. She also said she didn't plan to run.
Apparently, I was the only person that hadn't heard the rumor that you called me about.
2 days later, things had changed. Sorensen says people reached out to encourage her to run.
The message I got on Monday was from way too many people, was that they wanted another choice.
Sorensen filed with the city to run as a write-in candidate Wednesday. She's now the fifth candidate vying to fill 3 seats on the board. This would be her third term if elected. Sorensen's tenure coincided with a tumultuous period for the Juneau School District. She spent her first term largely working through the COVID-19 pandemic. She also served as board president when the district decided to close and consolidate Juneau schools to fill a $9.7 million budget deficit. She survived a recall effort following the consolidation last year. Sorensen says she thinks the district is making progress since the consolidation. If elected, she says she's interested in following the academic performance of sixth graders who were lumped in with elementary school instead of middle school after the closures. She says the candidate forum hosted by KTOO and the League of Women Voters of Juneau last week influenced her decision.
The overall message to me for some of the candidates was not an overwhelming desire to promote public education.
She says that commitment is necessary to serve on the school board.
You need to be a real advocate for best public education and for, you know, all the students.
Sorensen worked as a teacher for the district for more than 35 years. This isn't the first time someone has filed to be a write-in candidate for the school board in recent memory. Former school board member Will Muldoon ran a successful write-in campaign for his first term in 2021. Sorensen is the only write-in candidate so far this year. As of Thursday morning, no one else has filed as a write-in candidate for the school board and Juneau Assembly races, according to the city clerk's office. The city mailed ballots to registered voters on September 19th. Juneau voters have until October 7th to return them. Reporting in Juneau, I'm Jamie Deep.
And renters living on Juneau's historic Telephone Hill have a week to pack up their belongings and vacate their homes before the city's October 1st eviction date. KTOO's Clarice Larson sat down with some residents to hear where they plan to go and what memories they leave behind.
In the basement of a red-trimmed house with cedar siding on Telephone Hill, John Ingalls plays a carbon fiber bass flute. He's rented the space for decades. For the last 15 years or so, he's been making flutes on the hill in his well-loved shop. There's hardly an inch of open space on the tables and walls in there, all filled with tools, varnishes, or half-finished flutes.
Amazing the stuff that's happened in this little shop, or all the things we built.
But in a week, all of it will need to be packed up and taken off the hill. The city and borough of Juneau has given residents there until October 1st to vacate the neighborhood. In December, the city plans to demolish them in hopes of making way for newer, denser housing in response to the city's housing crunch. The city does not yet have a developer signed on to the project. Juneau is facing a housing crisis. There are simply not enough homes to keep up with the demand. Alarms of a crisis date back more than a decade. The Telephone Hill redevelopment would add more than 100 new housing units to downtown. Sitting in his dining room alongside some of his neighbors on Tuesday evening, Ingalls says this isn't the first time he's had an eviction scare on the hill.
When I was younger, I sort of had a plan if I got evicted that I would build a platform up and a scaffolding up on the roof and hang up on the roof with a squirt gun.
All of the people living on Telephone Hill are renters and have been since the state took ownership of the neighborhood in the 1980s. It was originally intended to be redeveloped to build a new Capitol complex there, but that didn't happen. The state transferred the land to the city 2 years ago. Last year, the assembly voted to redevelop the neighborhood. Joe Carson just turned 80 years old. He rents an apartment on the hill.
My history with the hill goes back quite a length, but I've actually been in this particular unit for 20 years. That's enough to make it a home.
Carson said he's been struggling to find new housing since the October 1st eviction notices went out in June. He says he's applied for a spot in senior living facilities, but was told the wait lists are at least a year long. He says he's looking for other options, but is still holding out hope that the Juneau Assembly will reverse course.
That's my home. It doesn't make any sense as far as affordable housing goes to tear it down. It's totally counterproductive to what they say that they want to do.
Carson isn't alone. Other Telephone Hill residents find themselves without a plan. On Monday, dozens of residents attended the Juneau Assembly's meeting to protest the city's plan to evict residents. The Assembly could have chosen to rescind the eviction notices sent to residents at the meeting, but they did not do that. Instead, multiple members, like Alicia Hughes-Scandies, shared why they stood behind their decision.
I love that neighborhood, too, but I truly believe in my heart that to take a property that has a smaller number of houses on it and trade that for more dense housing is a right move for us for where we are in our housing crisis.
As far back as 2010, a study by the Juneau Economic Development Council pointed to a lack of housing in town as a barrier for low-income and homeless populations to find and afford apartments. Juneau's city attorney, Emily Wright, says the city is prepared to take legal action against residents who do not vacate by the eviction date.
Everybody on the hill received an eviction notice for October 1st. If they don't leave their homes by October 1st, the city would initiate a legal action against them, the same as any landlord-tenant situation in Alaska.
Back on the hill, Ingalls' partner, Rachel Beck, says they own a home they'll move into after the eviction notice. But she says they'd rather stay. She says Juneau is losing much more than just a couple of old homes. It's losing history.
But to me, it's like throwing away your grandmother's jewels, you know?
The neighborhood is one of the oldest and continuously occupied areas in Juneau. It has a history for Beck. She gave birth to her children there. It has statewide significance, too. Alaska's first commercial telephone service started out of a house in the neighborhood.
I think for Juneau, it's important to have reminders of our past.
But she fears that once demolition begins, the memory of the neighborhood will fade, dwindling to just words on a plaque, a reminder of what once was. In Juneau, I'm Clarice Larson.
And as for the weather here in Juneau right now, it's 49 degrees and raining. We're expected to get some more heavy rain tonight with a low of 46. Tomorrow, the rain may lighten up a little bit, but as we've heard, we're expecting some heavy winds. The stormy weather looks like it'll continue through the weekend. And sunset is at 6:46 tonight. Tomorrow morning, the sun rises a little bit before 7 a.m. So we're getting just under 12 hours of daylight these days after the fall equinox. You're listening to KTOO. For more news, go to ktoo.org.